Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 17. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 13, which has been the same page we've been looking at for the past 3 weeks. So you can tell we're kind of slowly crawling our way through the book of Genesis. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know that it's been enlightening and life-giving for me. And so this has been a good series. Again, this is Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants." At this, Abram fell down on his face on the ground. And then God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God." Friends, I'm going to be a little prideful this morning. I'm going to boast a little bit this morning, okay? I believe that I deserve some kind of special award, okay? And this is why. Pastor Steve and I, over the past 6 weeks, have been walking this journey with you with Abraham. But for these first 6 weeks, we have had to say Abram every time. And I can't tell you how difficult it is to not say Abraham I'm getting mixed it up as I try to say it now. It's nearly impossible not to say Abraham every time. In fact, when I was a kid, you grow up singing Father Abraham had many sons, right? You don't say Father Abram, right? But Abram is a good chunk of this story, but today it changes, right? For the first time in our story, Abram is going to be renamed Abraham. We're going to follow that here in a little bit. We're going to talk about the importance of that moment. But let us just bask in this moment, okay? In the daily devotions, I can write Abraham. I don't have to write Abraham and then have one of the ladies in the office said, "You said Abraham again," and come back and correct it. We are calling him Abraham from here on out. So celebration, right? Kill the fatted calf. It's a good day. So we're talking about Abraham this morning, which is the first time we've gotten an opportunity to do that. But there is one thing that we're talking about that feels like we've talked about it again and again and again and again. We're talking again this morning about covenants. What in the world? Why does the writer of Genesis hark on this so much? We read in verse 2, "I will make a covenant with you." Yeah, we heard about that in the previous chapters. You don't have to remind us, God, that you've made a covenant with Abraham, right? We know about this. Verse 4, "This is my covenant with you." Yeah, God, we've heard what the covenant is, right? You're going to give him descendants. He's going to get this land. We get it, right? We get it. Verse 7, "I will confirm my covenant with you." Good grief, right? Just let it go, God. Why? Why does God have to keep reminding Abraham that he's established a covenant with him? Well, there are two reactions. One of them is to say, good grief, I'll just skip this and get to the stuff I haven't read before, and we can just all acknowledge there is a covenant. So that's one reaction we can have. The other reaction, though, and I think this is what Genesis wants you to do, the other reaction is to stop pause, and pay attention. You see, when we see a pattern in Scripture, it's worth pausing and asking ourselves why. Why does this theme, why does this Scripture keep presenting itself over and over and over again? Why does God continue to remind Abraham of the covenant? Well, I think I have an idea, and maybe the story will be helpful for us understanding what God is doing. I was a senior in high school, and my high school football team, we were stacked that year. All right, we had really good players. In fact, one of our players went on to be the state player of the year. We had really, really good football team that year. And over the past maybe 3 or 4 years, we had played a team called Archbishop Thomas Murphy. Okay, they were a private school in the just north of Seattle, in kind of the Everett area. And we had played them before, and each year, in fact, my freshman year of high school, we played them, and it was their first year of playing high school football, first year they had had a team. So by the time I'm a senior, they had had a team for 4 years, and each year, they're just getting incrementally better, right? They're getting incrementally better, and this is why. Private schools can actually go out and recruit students to play on their sports teams, right? So you can go to a public school system anywhere in the state of Washington and say, wow, that player is really good. We want your son, in this case, we want your son to have a full ride to our private high school, all expenses paid. Will you come kind of, you know, move to the area and play for our football team? And that's what they did, and that's what players did. So it was my senior year. We were ranked fourth in the state. They were a division above us, and they were ranked, I think, second or first in the state. They were ranked pretty high. And we're in the locker room before the game. We're at their field. We're about to play them. And I'm rallying the guys, man. I gave the best pregame speech, okay? It was awesome, right? I mean, people were cheering. People were pounding on the lockers. We were excited. As the saying goes, we were jacked. We were jacked to play this game. And we get out on the field. And we get the ball first, right? And we get up in the huddle. I'm like, all right, boys, let's show them what these island boys are made of. Let's go, right? And I call the play. And right off the bat, we're gonna go deep, okay? And I take the snap, and I come back, and here comes this blitzer right up the middle. And I'm, boom, I give him a juke, right? And he goes right by. And I'm like, I'm taking this baby to the house, right? And I start to run. I get about 5 yards up the field, okay? And their safety, he comes out of nowhere. And I defy physics to this day. He hit me so hard that my body got horizontal in the air and did a helicopter in the air, and I hit the ground. And I go, oh, this is going to be a long day, right? And we get back to the huddle, and I'm like, hey, no problem. We got 5 yards there, right? And I'm like trying to catch my breath and talking, and my brother has this look on his face, and I'm trying to give them the next play. I say, hey, Chandler, come on, pay attention, bro. And he goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Right? He was terrified. They beat us 45-7 that day. They absolutely trashed us. They went on to win the state playoffs in 2A. One of their players is actually, you guys might know of him. He played up at the University of Idaho. His name was Shiloh Keough. And he was a really good safety up at the University of Idaho and went on to actually play in the NFL. When the Broncos won their last Super Bowl, he was involved. He actually made an interception in the AFC Championship game. Shiloh Keough was the player who hit me. He was a sophomore in high school at the time, and he absolutely rocked my world. Why am I telling you all of this? Well, we get to practice the next week, and we're just down, right? We just got trashed. And we come into the locker room, and on every one of our lockers, every player on our team was a piece of tape, and in marker, our coach had written, "We belong." And there was up on the marker, on the board where we drew out plays, there was a note that said, "Take this piece of tape and put it on your helmet. Before you go out to practice today, I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to say to yourself, we belong." I still have that piece of tape, right? It was a pivotal moment in my experience as a football player, but I think also in my life, that here we had just been absolutely trapped, right? Things had gone wrong in a really, really bad way. And we were being reminded that we belong. We had made mistakes on the field, but our coach was imbuing to each and every one of us that we still belonged on that football field. Abraham has made a ton of mistakes, right? And we've gone over a couple of them, right? There's Sarah in Egypt. There's Hagar. There's going to be more to come. Abraham's life is full of all kinds of mistakes. These are major gaffes. And what's not included in Scripture are the minor ones, right? Right, the times that he gets in arguments in Sarah and he's with Sarah and he just storms off, right? The times when he bears false witness, he lies or he lusts after another woman, whatever it might be, right? All of these different things that we deal with in our lives, Abraham deals with those as well. And so in the midst of this brokenness of his life, it would be really easy for Abraham to forget that he belongs to God. But I think in this passage, I think in chapter 17 and throughout this journey, God has been reminding Abraham of the covenant because God wants to remind Abraham that he belongs. God is reminding Abraham of the covenant. So Abraham remembers that he belongs to the Lord regardless of the sin and the brokenness in his life. Friends, how often do we need to be reminded that we belong to God? Gosh, when I look back on my life, when I think about the mistakes that I have made, when I think about the selfish choices that I've made on my own behalf, the times where I was arrogant and prideful, the times when I took advantage of other people, I think back on those moments and it gets really easy for me to begin to start questioning, right? Am I really a faithful person? Am I really worthy of God's love? Am I really someone who should even call themselves a Christian, much less a pastor? I forget that I belong to God. What about you? What are the mistakes that you have made in your life? What are those times when you are given a fork in the road and one leads down that narrow path that God has laid out in front of all of us? And the other one just winds all over the place and it's extremely wide. And you think to yourself, that one's the better one. That one, for whatever reason, we think is going to lead to the destination that I want to be. All of us have these moments in our lives when we forget. When we forget that we belong to the Lord. But thankfully, God is faithful. God will not let us forget that we are loved, that we are cared for, and that He is our God. And I believe that God places in our lives these pivotal moments when we are called to stand before Him and remember how much He loves us. A pivotal moment when God looks at us and says, remember. This happens throughout the Old Testament. It also happens in the New Testament as well. God comes to the people, or Jesus is speaking to the people, and he says, remember, right? The Israelites are in the desert, right? And they are wandering aimlessly, essentially, at least from their perspective, and they don't know if they're going to make it. And God comes to them, and he says, remember. Remember that I am the Lord your God, the father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Remember, God is reminding them in these pivotal moments of who they are. And God does this in our lives as well. And we see that taking place this morning in our passage as well. This is a pivotal moment in Abraham's life when he will look back and remember God's faithfulness. Verse 4 says this, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more," and this is really important, "what's more, I am changing your name. It would no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations." One of the things I think we don't fully appreciate, and this is probably a broken record for some of you, you've heard me talk about this before, but it's an important point to make, naming at this time wasn't about just giving someone a label, right? It's not like you're just looking to call somebody something. When you give someone a name, you are giving them a presence by which they are identified. Your name is very much linked to who you are at your core. Your identity is wrapped up in your name. The greatest example in Scripture of this is, of course, when Moses, I believe it's Exodus chapter 3, is given the name of God. I am that I am, Yahweh, right? And the idea isn't, you know, God, can I call you something? It's God, who are you? And God gives the name, his name to Moses. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. And that says something about who God is. It's his very being. The people call upon the name of the Lord. The idea is, again, they're not just saying, hey, God, we want your attention. They're calling upon God's presence among the life of the people. So this is what it means to be named. It's to be given a new identity. God is giving Abraham a new identity, an identity that is wrapped up in this covenant, this love, this relationship that God has established with him. It is a pivotal moment in the life of Abraham. And I think as Abraham gets older, as he looks at all the descendants he will have, spoiler alert, he has them. God is faithful to him. As he looks at his descendants, as he looks at the land that he has settled in, I think Abraham thinks back on the day that God renamed, that God gave him a new identity, when God created him to be a new creation, a new life in this world. He remembers that day, and he thinks about the faithfulness of God. And so the question, of course, for us is, what about us? Do we remember the new identity that God has given us in these moments when we're prone to forget? We have a wonderful part of our liturgy when we baptize, whether infants or adults in the Reformed Presbyterian tradition. We have a number of questions that we ask the individual. They respond, I do, and then we baptize them. But in that process, we also have a command to those of us who are gathered. We say to you, remember your baptism. And the reason that we say that is because we want you to remember that, like this individual who is about to be put to death with Christ and raised to new life in their baptism, you have also been given a new identity. Remember your baptism. So baptism is a wonderful opportunity to remember a pivotal moment in which God has given you a new identity. But there are other ones as well. Ones that maybe are less shrouded, if you will, in the liturgy and the tradition of religious experience. It might be that moment when you are walking in your life and everything feels like it's crumbling. Everything feels like it's falling apart. And you go to a place that is special to you, and you're sitting there and you're asking, God, where are you? And in that moment, you get that assurance, I'm right here. I'm walking with you. You're loved. Yeah, you've made mistakes, but my grace is enough for you. Maybe it's a moment like that. Maybe it's a moment when you remember how God came to you through another person, and another person didn't know that you were struggling, and they came to you and they said, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You've been on my heart. I've been thinking about you. I want you to know that God has told me to pray for you. And in that moment, you know that you are loved by God. That's a pivotal moment. That's when we are called to remember God's faithfulness to us. And so, friends, I want you to think about what those pivotal moments are. Because again, all of us experience doubt. All of us experience broken in our lives, and all of us need to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of his love, of all the things he has promised to us. I was remembered about pivotal moments in my life last night. Charlie and I had the absolute pleasure of attending the Lewiston Civic Theater play, The Newsies Junior, that was put on by students in our community, right? And friends, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. This is a play that's put on entirely by the students. I think there's one adult, Amy, who was the director. She did a fabulous job. The rest, the lights, the sound, the props, obviously the actors, all of it was done by kids ranging from the age, I would say, of 5 years old to high school students. And the play was phenomenal. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching it take place, and I'm watching these kids on this stage, surrounded by a community that loves them and supports them, you know, sing their hearts out to some of my favorite songs. I was obsessed with Newsies as a kid, so this show was perfect for me. And I'm thinking to myself, what an awesome deal. What an awesome deal for these kids, because they will never forget this. This will be a part of who they are for the rest of their lives. Remember that time that I was a part of that play, and at the end, all those people stood up, and they shouted and gave me a standing ovation, and they cheered after I sang, and even when I forgot my lines, and I maybe went off stage on the wrong direction and then ran across the stage to go back to the right direction. Remember these pivotal moments that God has placed in our lives. And friends, one of the cool things about remembering is that when we remember that God has given us a new identity. But just because he's given us a new identity doesn't mean that we forget the person that we were. Because the person that we were is also a reflection of God's faithfulness. I was a broken person, and God was merciful to me. I made mistakes in my life, and God loved me and cared for me and walked with me. That person we were is intimately linked to the person we are. And in these pivotal moments, we are given the opportunity to bring those two people together and to remember God's faithfulness. And so my challenge for you this morning, friends, is very simple. Remember. Remember these pivotal moments in your life and God's faithfulness to you, that you are assured of his grace and his love and his mercy. Let us pray. God, you are the creator of pivotal moments. You are the creator of love, of mercy. You are the creator of goodness, of faithfulness. And you have shared all of these things to us in moments when we are apt to forget, God, and believe, Lord, that we have been abandoned. So God, in your grace and in your mercy, continue, Lord, to help us to remember all those moments in your life when you are faithful. We pray these things in Christ's name.